You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Laundry Day, Tony. Do you do your own laundry?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Everything but my underpants, I just take them off, I sign them, I put them right on eBay.
See, we're going to go a little inside baseball for a second. The people at home, they don't know how fascinated you are, doctor of letters, by the word underpants and how creepy
like the word.
It is. They have no idea, but I know. I know.
I like the word underpants. And in the nature of full disclosure, as you know, I like to iron. I can do the wash, it's okay, but I actually get joy and comfort out of ironing, and I'm pretty good at it. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Carlos Rodon throws a no-hitter, Arizona hires an outsider, and your boy Jim McMahon roasts the Bears. But we begin today with the sudden retirement of LaMarcus Aldridge, who had recently come to the Nets from San Antonio. Aldridge experienced what was diagnosed as an irregular heartbeat while playing the other night against the Lakers. Aldridge had previously dealt with the same circumstances, and he decided that's it, after 15 years in the NBA. Wilbon, how do you see this decision, Aldridge's career, and what, if anything, it means to the Nets?
Well, Tony, the Nets is the least of it. He's been in the Nets a minute and a half, and so that doesn't even register with me. I can speak firsthand to heartbeat irregularities, because I had one 13 years ago, and an event that sort of went with it. And in the immediate aftermath of that, particularly men, I don't know how women react, but men say, I promise to God I'm never going to do this. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. I promise. You promise your wife and kids, you promise everybody in the world. I'm going to do exactly what I'm supposed to do. And that is the place where LaMarcus Aldridge found himself immediately and is right now. And then, in a few days, you feel better. You say, I could take some of those promises and put them over here, and I'm still going to go do this, and I'm going to eat some ribs. And you back off of it because that's what most men do. Ego gets in the way, and then you forget everything you promised, and you try to go back to the way you lived. I don't know what LaMarcus Aldridge is going to do a month from now. But right now, Tony, there's fear. And this is a reaction to that, saying, no, I can't do this anymore. He's had a long, terrific career, didn't win a ring. Still, long, terrific career. Whatever he feels he needs to do with his doctors, that's what he should do.
Yeah, I will take the easiest path here and agree with you completely. It means absolutely nothing to the Nets. He just got there. They don't really need him. He was window dressing. I also agree about health and the promises you make to yourself whenever there's a health scare. It seemed to me, this year especially, we talked about it the other day, that so many really good players are breaking down in the NBA. It's almost like the NFL in that regard. And they put themselves in such stressful positions physically in order to play that I always wonder why more of them don't get hurt. In this case, the suddenness with which he decided to retire indicates to me that he made that kind of promise, which was one more and I'm done. One more and I'm done. And he's done. And in terms of his career, a very solid career over a long period of time. I don't think of him as one of the greats from Portland or one of the greats from San Antonio, but a really solid basketball player.
Tony, draft night, he winds up in Portland because the Bulls decide that they value a guy named Tyrus Thomas more. Tyrus Thomas, I'm guessing now. Somebody can correct me later. I think 7 or 8 seasons. LaMarcus Aldridge, 15.
15.
Been all-star level. LaMarcus Aldridge is a guy you wanted to have, a guy you could trade for and build around or certainly build with. The guy he was traded for on draft night, that was a draft mistake, apparently. Let's move to baseball and Carlos Rodon's big night. Big night. The White Sox starter took a perfect game into the ninth against Cleveland. He almost lost it on a soft grounder at first, then did lose it when he hit Roberto Perez in the foot with a slider. But Rodon kept his composure, got the next two batters to salvage the no-no. Tony, you going to remember this as a no-hitter or just a lost chance at a perfecto?
Okay, so the guy he hit was the 26th batter, not the 27th batter. He wasn't the last one, and that makes a difference. He was 0-2 on the guy and into a slider that hit him in the foot. That's the pitcher's fault. That's not anything but the pitcher's fault. So I suspect Rodon is going to remember it as a lost opportunity, especially after the terrific play that Abreu made on the first batter in that inning, getting to first base with the soft ground ball. I remember two of these games in my life, Mike. I remember the one a few years ago because we talked about it often, where Jim Joyce, the umpire, blew the call and Armando Galarraga lost the perfect game. And because I was an insane Mets fan as a kid, I remember the game against the Chicago Cubs where Tom Seaver had a perfect game in 1969, and a guy named Jimmy Qualls, who may have never gotten another hit, got a single in the ninth inning, and that was the end of that. Those are the two that I remember.
Tony, these things are local. These are about your team. Baseball's about your team. This is not the National Football League where every game's on TV and you go to Red Zone. Your team, all right? So when I was a kid, my father was a White Sox fan, not a Cubs fan, but because of that, we watched White Sox and Cubs. I remember Joel Horland of the White Sox. The White Sox have had 20 no-hitters. Joel Horland in 1967. But also I remember Milt Pappas having a ground ball to second base, I think it was. And it was, no, maybe it was a call third strike, but whatever it was a bad umpiring call, and he lost a perfect game in the ninth. So I think this with Rodon, I'm going to remember this, Tone, and I caught some of this last night and late and then going forward. I'm going to remember it as a lost perfecto because you've got hundreds, like 300-plus no-hitters in baseball history. I think 23 perfect games in Major League history. And listen, he meant to throw that pitch. He was trying to throw a slider on
That's
the guy's
right.
back foot
That's right.
or just off That's right. the back foot, not on it. I'm going to remember that. And it's local. It's a Chicago thing. I'm going to remember that.
You're right.
That is a
You're right.
Near
the rest
perfecta.
Of the country, the rest of the country will forget this by Monday. This is the second no-hitter this week. The guy in San Diego threw one.
I don't
They're
even
both
know
28
who the guy
years
in San
old.
Diego's
They're both
name.
Journeyman.
Yeah.
The other point, wait, I wrote his name down. Oh, gosh, I've already lost it. Musgrove. Most of the 307 no-hitters I think you'll find were thrown by pitchers who were not particularly great, but most of the 23 perfect games were great pitchers.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
great pitchers. So, I think he'll remember it that way as a lost opportunity. But it's his, because he threw it on the guy's foot. It's his. The University of Arizona, yet another hometown school for Wilbon, has hired Tommy Lloyd to replace Sean Miller. Lloyd spent the last 21 years as an assistant at Gonzaga and had a contractual agreement that he would be the heir to Mark Few when Mark Few leaves. It is being reported that Arizona chose Lloyd over Damon Stoudemire, Jason Terry, Miles Simon, and Josh Pastner, all of whom played at Arizona and coach now. Wilbon, did Lloyd make the right decision by leaving Gonzaga, and did Arizona make the right decision by hiring outside the family?
Yeah, well, nothing but time is going to absolutely wisely answer both those questions. As I did a couple of days ago on this show, I'm going to start with talking about something Richard Jefferson said. And Richard Jefferson, who I consider just one of the smart guys in the last 25 years, at least in the NBA, went to Arizona. And he says he doesn't want to coach. And I listen to him and I think, oh, my God, somebody should make sure Richard Jefferson gets a chance, if he ever wants to, at coaching. And the thing that Richard said, Tony, was that unlike North Carolina and a lot of the schools back east, the schools west, even UCLA, and UCLA did it for a minute, but not now, they seem to go out of the family. And he didn't understand that and thought it might be a mistake. And I just found myself nodding, you know, like a bobblehead saying, yes, 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 Richard Jefferson's right about this. Carolina just did it with their promotion. They've done it twice since Dean Smith. And even when they got it wrong with Daugherty, they did it again within family. Arizona, to me, might have missed an opportunity. I'm a big Jason Terry fan. I just think Jason Terry's got the stuff that you need to be a good head coach, a really good head coach. But time will tell, Tone.
Yeah, I would add another school, too. I would add Georgetown. That literally kept
and
it in the family.
He said that, Georgetown,
right.
Yes.
And those two schools do that all the time. Not everybody is North Carolina or Georgetown. In this particular case, what intrigues me and confuses me a little bit is all those guys that are mentioned are Lute Olson guys. They're not Sean Miller guys. Now, Jason Terry sat on the bench with Sean Miller, but after that scandal broke, so he's not associated with that. So that confused me a little bit, although maybe that's the policy, because Sean Miller was from Pitt and Xavier. He was across the country from Arizona, so maybe that's how they're going to do it. In terms of Tommy Lloyd, who has a reputation as a great international recruiter, he's very wise to do this. Mark Few's 58. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you can find Tommy Lloyd now. You can find him at Arizona in a Pac-12, a better conference. This reminds me of Mike Hopkins at Syracuse. He was supposed to take over for Boeheim. Boeheim's not
Where
leaving.
Where is that going to be?
So he went to the University of Washington, and he tells the people at Syracuse, here's the area code. Come get me if you want me.
Those internationals, wait till they get out here to the sunshine and desert if he can recruit them down here. They'll love it.
I'm sure he can do that. Let's take a break. But coming up, was Luka's shot that beat the Grizzlies lucky or good?
Amazing is what it was. And Steph Curry has been on a roll. But has Russell Westbrook been even better? Toss-up is next.
Why does anybody think Few's leaving? He's been to the final game twice in the last 5 years.
He's not going anywhere. This guy's right to leave. And I think this is a good job.
Pardon the interruption is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You all saw what happened to Wilbon during Tuesday's toss-up, so I've granted him a rematch. What's first?
Toss-up, was Luka's game winner lucky or good?
It was lucky and good. He's fallen forward. It doesn't look like he can get the ball out of his hands, and the next thing you know, it goes swish. I would tell you it was lucky, Mike, if I hadn't seen him do this about 50 times since he got to the NBA. This guy is a great late scorer. This is the fourth time he has hit the go-ahead three in the last 5 seconds of a game. And, you know, ask Paul George how that tastes. If you want to know what was lucky, it was lucky that Grayson Allen goes to the line with his team up two with two foul shots and misses both, and he's a 91% foul shooter. Yeah. And this allows Rick Carlisle, this is a great quote, "We had Houdini. He got us out of here alive."
Tony. He does. This is what he does. This is his thing. This is how he rolls, and he rolls from that same spot virtually on the left side. It can be close in, just a few inches from the arc, or it can be 6 feet back. We've seen him do it. Left side. Somebody, when you see him on the left side, send five defenders over there. Luka Doncic's great, period. Not just a great late-game shooter. He gets himself to the spot on the floor where he wants. Nobody talks about how athletic he is and how quick and how fast. He gets his spot, and he shoots it from there, and you're going home. That's what's happening. Good.
Next.
Toss-up. Who's on a more impressive run, Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook?
Let me put the glasses on for these statistics. Here is Steph Curry lately. 42 points last night with 11 threes after 53 the game before with 10 threes. His last eight games, 39 points a game, 49% from three. Here's Westbrook lately. Triple-double last night, 25, 15, and 11. Six straight triple-double, 10th and 11 games, 24th of the season. He's already the all-time triple-double leader for the Wizards, and he got there an hour and a half ago. Now, who am I going to take? I'm going to take Curry, and I'll tell you why. Because Westbrook, I have come to expect him to be routinely great and get triple-doubles. This is just the way I think he is. But the number that stands out is 49% from three for Curry, which is insane. Don't talk to me about Seth Curry, Steph Curry.
Yeah, Tony, I think it's Steph Curry, too, because I watched some of that last night, and the bounce and the movement he had, and going to the basket the way he does. I mean, I know Kyrie Irving's the best finisher in basketball today and maybe for a long time, but Curry's right up there, his ability to finish the rim. But let me go to Russell Westbrook, because at the beginning of the year, I was one of those people that said the Wizards would make the playoffs. I know Charles Barkley agrees with me, or I agree with him. Tony, the team you don't want to play, if they can pull themselves together long enough, if you're a top three team, is the Wizards. Because when you have Beal and Westbrook out there and Hachimura coming along, Tony, I think they're going to play their way into the playoffs, and one of those top teams is going to get them. And if Westbrook, Beal, Hachimura, that crew they got, that ensemble they got, they can scare the hell out of somebody, and it starts with Westbrook. Because other teams know he can give them fits if he's healthy and he is totally engaged. So I'll split it up that way.
You got to get to 10th in order to get in, and not there yet.
I know.
That's it.
They're going to get
there. The rematch goes to Anthony Irwin, Kornheiser. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Jim McMahon takes some shots at your Chicago Bears, and we will ask Bears fan Michael Ray Wilbon how he feels about them.
They're his Bears. He's family. He can say whatever he wants. And I already know the criticism because he told me. Should Trevor Lawrence's comments to Sports Illustrated be considered controversial?
You love Trevor Lawrence, right? You've loved him for years.
No, I love Jim McMahon.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 74th birthday tomorrow, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They say there are no second acts in America, but Kareem has a second act as an op-ed writer, and his work is thoughtful and generally fabulous. He was the most sought-after high school recruit in history out of Power Memorial in New York City when he was Lou Alcindor. He went to UCLA, where he won three straight championships. Oddly, the most famous game he played was a loss to Houston and Elvin Hayes in the Astrodome that was dubbed the game of the century, a result UCLA avenged in the Final Four. In the NBA, where he became known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he won a title in Milwaukee and five more with the Lakers. He was a 19-time All-Star, a six-time MVP. He has scored more points than anyone ever. In 2016, he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. People like to talk about Magic and Jordan and LeBron. Don't you ever gloss over Kareem.
Amen to that, Tone. There was that dopey bracket a couple of years ago about the best players in college basketball history and this guy versus that guy. And it's like, hey, Kareem was 88-2. Shut up and find another project. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you're right. We don't talk about him enough as the greatest of all time.
Happy anniversary to the penalty flag. History lesson, kids. On this day 56 years ago, the NFL changed the color of the penalty flag from white to yellow. I don't remember it being white. Certainly yellow seems the appropriate color to all of us now. The penalty flag in the Canadian League is orange. Until the 1970s, the penalty flag in college football was red. I don't remember that either. The idea for a penalty flag came from Youngstown State coach Dwight Beattie, and was first used in a game against Oklahoma City University in 1941. Before that, officials used horns and whistles to signal a penalty. The NFL first used a flag in 1948. The challenge flag, a new innovation, is red in American football and yellow in Canadian football, and in both cases, the color is designed to contrast with a penalty flag. Wilma, don't you love it when somebody says there's laundry on the field?
I do like that phrase, Tony. April 15, for those of us of a certain age, is also the anniversary of Jackie Robinson's first game in the major leagues. His going 0-for-3 in his Dodgers debut in no way factors into the historical significance of that day or his extraordinary life and legacy.
Okay, so we have said many times on this show that is the most important cultural and sociological moment in the history of American sports. That's it. That's it. And I don't care if you're 20 years old now. Right. You
got to know it.
That's when you're right that they got to go to the books. They have to understand life wasn't always like this in sports. And Jackie Robinson has a real legacy. Absolutely. Happy trails to any love you may have thought Jim McMahon has for the Chicago Bears. Wilbon, this one's for you. Jim McMahon, the only starting quarterback to win a Super Bowl for your Bears, told something called 1252 Sports that Green Bay was the best franchise he played with, not Chicago. McMahon said, quote, "It was the best team or the best organization that I've played for of the seven teams I played for, by far from top to bottom," unquote. McMahon won a Super Bowl ring as Brett Favre's backup in Green Bay. McMahon lamented that the Bears emphasized defense and running instead of Chicago. Here's another quote. "It's where quarterbacks go to die," unquote. As for what the Bears should do in the upcoming draft, McMahon said, quote, "I don't know. Don't watch them. Don't care."
And Tony, Jim McMahon is expressing that as family, because he's the greatest quarterback in my lifetime for the Chicago Bears. I'm 60 years old plus. All right, so Jim McMahon has every right to express that frustration. It's frustration. He loves the Bears. I don't have to guess on this, because at a certain New Year's Eve party every year, while people otherwise are drinking bubbly, Jim McMahon and I are grumbling about the state of quarterbacks for the Chicago Bears, which is a 80-year frustration, it seems to me. McMahon knows what he's talking about. They should fire the GM they got and put McMahon in, install him immediately, because he knows exactly from where he speaks, and he's sad, like the rest of Bear fans, about the state of quarterback historically in Chicago.
One clarification, Wilbon, Milt Pappas had a perfect game with two out in the ninth when Bruce Fleming called a 3-2 pitch a ball instead of a strike. Yeah. And let's go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
Michael Jordan will present Kobe Bryant's Hall of Fame induction. Your thoughts?
What, is there anybody else who should do that? Are you kidding me? Michael Jordan's the only possibility. David Robinson's going to present Tim Duncan. Isaiah Thomas will present Kevin Garnett. I can't wait for that. Trevor Lawrence told SI he does not play with a chip on his shoulder. Does not. Trying to prove people wrong, okay, by you?
Who's he going to prove wrong? Everybody thinks he's great. This isn't Tom Brady being drafted 5,000th. It's
no,
not.
No,
the
it's
Bulls
not.
Lost to the Magic last night. They're 3-8 since the Vucevic trade. You still like that deal?
I will be by December, Tony. It's not going well now. And Zach LaVine's on the COVID list. They're done for the season. They really are. Braves right fielder, but I still like the deal. Braves right fielder Ronald Acuna Jr. lost hit his 7th home run this afternoon. Is that a big deal?
A great hitter. He's almost as exciting running to first base, though, because he's so fast. Last one, the WNBA draft starts in an hour. Who's going one?
Charlie Collier is expected to go first. Aaron McDonald in the top five. Dallas with the 1, 2, and 5 picks, Tony. I'm going to start watching that.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts now.